Today's daf is daf Mem Zayin. Rav Masharshia had said that the various rules of the psak, of when you have an argument, were not accepted. And the Gemara wants to know, where did Rav Masharshia know that? So the Gemara is going to quote a whole series of disputes in halacha, where we would have thought, based on the rules, to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and either someone had to say we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or the halacha was like those who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So that would prove that the rules of psak were not accepted. That's why Rav Masharshia said it. So the Gemara, the first example the Gemara had given was from our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon says that if you have three courtyards next to each other with openings between the courtyards, and each of the courtyards has an opening to the street, so if the courtyards made an eruv between the outer ones and the middle one, and the outer ones can carry to the middle one can carry to the outer one, but we can't carry from one outer one to another outer one. And Rav Chaim Bar Guri said, in the name of Rav, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara said, 1 second, you know, the other Tana in the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda. If you have these rules of how to make determinations, didn't we say that one of the rules was Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? The law follows Rabbi Yehuda. Elalaf, so what do you see? Shema min alesnu, that we don't have these rules. That's how Rav Masharshia got his idea. So Gemara said, maybe not. My kush, what was the big question? The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe there is a rule. Normally, when Rav Yehuda is against Rabbi Shimon, we would rule like Rav Yehuda. But sometimes we have exceptions, and we have a tradition that here, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. So we said here, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. So let's start at this point. Mem, Vavim, and Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, about 7 lines from the bottom. We did this yesterday. We'll start again over here. Itmar was taught in the yeshiva. I'm sorry, Ella. Ella says, the Gemara Mahadit Nan. Rav Masharshia's source was from the following Mishnah. It's a Mishnah later on in the Perek. In the Masechta. The Mishnah says, Ir shel yachid v'naseh shel rabim. Let's say you have a city that does not have 600,000 residents. So there's no real public domain in it. And then more people move in. So originally, when it didn't have 600,000, there was no real public domain. You can make one Eruv Chatzeros for the entire city. Combine everybody into one Rishus, into one home. Now you have 600,000 people. Now you have something which is a public domain which can't have an Eruv Chatzeros. So this Mishnah says, but since it began as a city, Shel Yachid, still Ma'arvin Eskula, you can make one Eruv Chatzeros for everybody. Shel Rabim V'Nasa Shel Yachid, if when originally began it was more than 600,000, now some people moved out, it's less than 600,000. So initially you couldn't make one Eruv for everybody, saying Ma'arvin Eskula, you can't make one Eruv for everyone. Elim Kain Osa Chutzala. Unless you leave a certain part of the city out of the Eruv. That way people will know that if, you know, it'll go back to again being 600,000. So now that area of 600,000, people won't be able to carry in. Ki'ir chadash shel Yehuda. How much do you have to leave out? You have to leave out enough area, like a new city in Judea. How much is that? Sheyesh b'chamishim diyurim. You have to leave out an area that has 50 residences. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon is more lenient. He says you only leave out Shalosh Chatzeros Shal Shnei Bar. Leave out three courtyards, each of them having two residences. So not 50 residences, 6 residences. Amar Rav Chaim Bar Guri Marav, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chaim Bar Guri said in the name of Rav, Halacha here is like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Oman Paligale, who's arguing in this Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda is with Rabbi Shimon. Hamarta, you said one of the rules of how to determine laws when we have arguments. Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, you said Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabbi Yehuda. And here you see that we're paskening, not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather like Rabbi Shimon. So that's how Rav Masharshia knew that these rules of Rabbi Yochanan were rejected. Says the Gemara, my kusha, what's the question? Tomachanami, maybe here it's an exception, as we said before. Hechad Itmar, where we have an explicit tradition to pasken like Rabbi Shimon, we'll do it even against Rabbi Yehuda, Itmar. The rule that normally Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda, looks like Rabbi Yehuda, is Hechad Lo Itmar. When we didn't have anything taught, then Lo Itmar, then we'd say, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. It says the Gemara Elameha. Rather, Rav Masharshia learned from the following, that the rules were rejected. It's not, we have another Mishnah. This is a Mishnah dealing with the issue of what happens if not every house contributed to the Erev Chatzeros. So we know normally all the houses that open up into a courtyard have to contribute bread. That bread is put into one house, and then it's considered that all the houses are part of that one house. What happens if you have a Gentile? So you're supposed to rent his house from him. So then his house is also considered not there, and it's just part of your domain. But what happens if Amaniach is Beito, Balach Lishos Bir Acheres? There are some people who left for Shabbos, and they didn't contribute bread for the Erev Chatzeros. So according to Rabbi Meir, Echonachi, Rechon Yisrael, Oslevnei Chatzeros. It could be a Gentile or a Jew who left. If they left, now you can't make an Erev Chatzeros. The other people who are left can't combine. They can't carry from their houses to each other, from their houses to the courtyard. Rabbi Yudam Rida says, no. If the Jew left, anybody who left, you know, Oser, he doesn't pay the prohibition anymore. He's not around. They can make an Erev Chatzeros amongst those who are left. And Rabbi Yossi said, Nachri Oser. If a Gentile left, that does create a prohibition. Because the Gentile might come back. Yisrael ain't oser. The Jew, though, does not create a prohibition. Ipnei she'ein derech Yisrael lavo. Because love of the Shabbos, right? A Jew's not going to be coming back on Shabbos. So if the Jew left, then you can make an Eruv without him. Even if the Jew is nearby, he left his house to go be with his daughter in that city, ain't oser. He will not create a prohibition on the others. Shekvari siyach daito, because he's already distracted himself. All right, so you have an argument, right? If people leave before Shabbos, can we still make an Eruv? An argument, different tanoim. Amar Rav Chama bar Guri, Marav, halachas like Rabbi Shimon. Halachas like Rabbi Shimon. People who left don't harm us from making an Eruv. Those who remained. Those who remained can make an Eruv Chatzeros. Those who left don't create a problem for us because they're not supposed to be here. They're not planning to be here. Now, Roman Poligali, there were lots of different opinions here. You had Rabbi Meir, you had Rabbi Yehuda, you had Rabbi Yossi, you had Rabbi Shimon. One of the people arguing is Rabbi Yehuda. Didn't we say Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be that those rules of how to paskin are rejected. Here we're paskin like Rabbi Shimon and not like Rabbi Yehuda. So now for the third time, the Gemara gives the same answer. Maybe the rules are not rejected. How does Rabbi Meshar Shia know that the rules are rejected? Well, my Kusha, what was the question? Dilma Hachanami. Maybe here also is one of those exceptions. You have a rule, then you have exceptions to a rule. Hechad Itmar, where we have a tradition, and in a particular case, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Itmar, halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon. Hechad Lo Itmar, we don't have a tradition, and halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Lo Itmar, then we'll go back to the normal rule. When Rabbi Yehuda is against Rabbi Shimon, we're going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Ella, so rather the Gemara says, Nehad Itnan. This is the source, the following Mishnah. This is Rav Misharshia's source to reject the rulings of how to decide arguments amongst Tanayim. So in the following Mishnah, we've been talking about the issue of Eruv Tchumin, and typically an Eruv Tchumin is created by putting down food. You put down a big loaf, equal to two meals worth, and a spot that you want to be your spot, and now you have 2,000 amos from that spot in each direction. But the truth is, what about if you didn't put down food? You yourself sat at the spot. You went to that spot and you sat there as the sun was setting. So in the Mishnah, this that we learned, Ha'ani, a poor person who doesn't have bread to put down, Ma'ariv Viraglov, he can make his Eruv Tchumen just by standing or sitting at the spot. Rabbi Meir, Omer Meir says, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. Okay, we only know about a poor person. A poor person has this right to do. That a person who's wealthier should put down bread. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, echad ani ve'echad ashir. Both a poor person and a rich person, even a rich person can, if he doesn't want to put down the bread, he can just stand there as the sun is setting, and that would create his new spot. Lo amru ma'arvim bepas. They only said you should use bread. El hakel ashir, to make it easier for the rich person, shelo yetziv ya'arv v'raglav, that he shouldn't have to go actually stand there with his feet. But in theory, he could put down bread. He could, in fact, stand there with his feet. They just made it easier for him to enable him to put down bread. So again, we have an argument. According to Rabbi Meir, only poor people can make Eruv Tchumen by standing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, poor people and rich people can make Eruv Tchumen by standing in the location. So here again, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Meir. What would the rules of Psak, the rules of determination tell us? Rabbi Yehuda. But umasna l'Rabchiya Barashi l'Chiya Barav kamei derav. When Rabchiya Barashi was teaching this Mishnah to the son of Rav, Chiya, in front of Rav, and he said the Mishnah, Echad Ani ve'Echad Ashir, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, both the rich person and a poor person can create Erev Tchumen by standing there. Amalei Rav, Rav said to his son's tutor, Sayem Beinami, you should also add, and halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now asks, Tartal Amalei, so why do we need to have why do we need to twice tell me halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Hamarta, right? Rav is saying, tell the tutor to add to my student halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. The rich man and the poor man can create Erev Tchumen by standing there. So why do I need to say halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Hamarta, didn't you say Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? So why do you have to say, and in this case also halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? So must be you don't have these rules. Since you don't have the rules, you have to tell me in each case who the halachas is like. So the Gemara says again, why was Rav Mesharshia so sure that the rules were rejected? Umay kushya. So my Rav less lehani klali. It's a story with Rav. Maybe Rav didn't have these rules. Rabbi Yochanan may have had these rules. Ella, so rather the Gemara says, mehaditznan. The reason how Rav Mesharshia knew that the rules of Psak, of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. The reason that we knew that these rules were rejected was from a Mishnah in Yevamos dealing with the question of when is a person allowed to remarry. If a woman gets divorced or widowed, if she remarries the next day to somebody else, we're going to have a problem in figuring out the paternity of the child, because maybe she's pregnant, but she's not yet aware that she's pregnant. And we don't know. Is this child from the first husband? Is this child from the second husband? Who's the siblings? We don't know. So that creates a whole set of problems. Now, people that he can't marry, right? Maybe they are his siblings, maybe they're not his siblings. Doesn't know. So, when you have Masechet Yevamos, that's the normal marriage that Yevamos deals with. A Yevama, a woman whose husband died and he never had children. So now she's a Yevama. She's supposed to marry her husband's brother. If she can't marry her husband's brother, she doesn't want to marry their husband's brother, he doesn't want to marry her, then he has to do a chalitza to her, and then she can marry other people. So lo tachlot, she shouldn't do the chalitza from the brother-in-law to enable her to marry other people. Lo tisyabi, and she shouldn't marry the brother-in-law until she has 3 months after the death of her first husband to see if she's pregnant. And because we were so careful with the woman we want to be so careful with the woman who's a Yevama. V'chein sh'ar kol anashim. We say this applies to all women as well. Lo yinasu. They shouldn't get married. Now, we know there are 2 stages to marriage. The first stage to marriage is kiddushin, when the chassan puts a ring on the kala's finger and says, Harei at mekudeshes li b'tabas zo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Kiddushin, the Gemara tells us in the Sechas Kiddushin, creates a prohibition to asar la kuli amaka hekdesh. She's now prohibited to others as a married woman. She's also prohibited to the husband. And there's a second stage of marriage. We do it all together. The second stage is bracha, say the sheva brachos under a chuppah, put them together in a yichud room. Also accomplishes this second stage of marriage. It's called nisuin. Nisuin permits the wife to the husband. The wife now and the husband can have marital relations. So b'chein sh'ar kol anashim. Truth is with other women too, who were married first. Lo yinasu, they can't now marry to a new husband with nisuin, because then they're going to have marital relations. Lo yisarsu, they can't even do just kiddushin. Achi len shlosha chadashim, until they have 3 months. And this applies echad besulos, even if the woman is still a virgin, that her first husband never had intercourse with her. Echad beulos, and certainly to a woman who's not a virgin anymore, because they had intercourse. Echad almanos, it applies to a widow. Echad grushos, to a divorced woman. Echad arusos, it even applies to a woman who her first husband was never permitted to her. Her first husband never did the nisuin. Her first husband had given her a ring and said, Ariat mekudesh asli, but that was it. So they had never even lived together. Echad nisuos, and certainly a woman who was fully married with her husband and had marital relations with her husband, so now she has to wait 3 months before she can marry a second husband. Now, why would it apply even to arusos? A gzeira. Right? If women who are arusos could go and marry without waiting the 3 months, we're worried that women who are nesuos will go and marry without waiting the 3 months. And then we're going to have the problem of not knowing the paternity of the child. Yeah, question?
Aruso, it's not Eshet Ish L'chol Davar.
Eshet Ish L'chol Davar.
He wants to be Megaresh, she need get.
Correct.
So why we treat them a little bit different?
Because they lo hutru zelazeh. The husband could not have bia with the arusa, so then there should be... Correct, so then there's no fear that she's pregnant. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't have to make such decrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, nesuos. If the woman was had to her first husband a nesuin, so now to the second husband, it's arsu. She can get engaged, she can just do kiddushin before the 3 months are up. Arusos, if the woman originally to the first husband only had kiddushin, inasu, she can even do nesuin now within the 3 months because she wasn't fully married. Chutz mi'arusa shebi Yehuda, the exception to this would be the arusos in Judea. This we have in Maseches Kesubis. The Gemara tells us that in Judea, in the southern part of Israel, during the times of the Roman occupation, the couples were not careful. They were not careful. And arusos used to be together with their chasanim. They would be very intimate with each other, and they might even have marital relations. So arusos shebi Yehuda, libo gaspa. His heart feels very familiar with her, and then we are worried that maybe she's pregnated. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi has another opinion. So we had, you know, the Tanakama, we had Rabbi Yehuda, now we have Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol anashim yisarsu. Women can do erusin, they can just have kiddushin done to them even before the 3 months are up. Chutz min almana, except for a woman who was nesua and then her husband dies, mipnei ha'evil, because she's an avelus of shloshim, so she should not be doing kiddushin. And the Gemara now says, who's the halacha like? Rabbi Lazar wants a story. It's the Gemara in Yevamos. Rabbi Lazar lo alo be'midrasha. Rabbi Lazar didn't go to the yeshiva one day. Ashchil Rav Asi da avakayim. He met Rav Ashi. He said to him, were you in the base medrash? Amalei, he said, yeah, I was. He said, okay, my omer be'midrasha. What it was the conclusions of the base medrash? Amalei, so Rav Asi said to him, achi omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that the women are allowed to engage in erusin even before the 3 months are up from the death of their, or the divorce from their first marriage. Erusin, yes, except for a woman who was nesua to her first husband, she can't do erusin right away because she has to wait 30 days of avelus. Yeah, it's just erusin. They could just be able to do erusin. The itchaten will be later. Right. So again, in the Beis Medrash, Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan says halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So what do you see? Michlal di yichida paligale. You see that it's only an individual who disagrees with him. It's only an individual who disagrees with him. Mara says, "In, you're right. It's only an individual who disagrees with him. It's not a majority, and that's what you can say. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Wasn't yachid against Rabin. Wasn't an individual against the majority. V'atayim we learned this way in a brisa. Also, the brisa says, Harei shaisu redu f'leilach lebeis aviyah. Let's say there was a woman who was married, but she didn't spend time with her husband. She would always go to her parents' house. Shaisu lekasim bala." Before her husband died, they were in a big fight. They were basically separated. They weren't sleeping in the same room. Her husband was old. He couldn't impregnate her anyway. He was sick. She was too sick to be able to have marital relations. So Akara, she's a woman who can't have children. It's Kena, an old woman. Katana, too young to have children. Ilanus, a woman who doesn't have feminine features. Other reasons why she can't have children. Maybe her husband was in jail, and then, you know, he was in jail for 5 months, and then he dies in jail, so she wasn't able to have relations with him. Or if a woman had a miscarriage after her husband died, so clearly the pregnancy from the husband is not here anymore. Still, as an absolute blanket rule. Kulan tzichon lahapten shlosha chadashim divrei Rabbi Meir. Everyone needs to wait 3 months, according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi, matir le'areis v'linase miyad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if the reasoning doesn't apply, the whole reasoning is that maybe she's pregnant with the first husband, if the reasoning doesn't apply, she can do erisin. She can even do nesuin. Right? That's what we had also in the first source, where Rabbi Yossi says in that Mishnah Yevamos that all women are allowed to do erisin right away within the 3 months, because the reason doesn't apply. Erisin's not going to have a new pregnancy. There's no problem. So now, Amali, why do I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me Allah is like Rabbi Yossi here? You see in this Braisa, it's Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Meir. If we have the rules of Psak, HaMarta, didn't you say Rabbi Yochanan himself said it's one of the rules of Psak, Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yossi, Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. So why does he have to tell us here Allah is like Rabbi Yossi in this case? We know always Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yossi, Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. The fact that he told us in this case Allah is like Rabbi Yossi is that he rejected the rules. He first had the rules, and then he regretted the rules, and he stopped the rules. So I said, no, it's not a question. Am I kushya? Maybe the reason why here he had to say Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, even though normally always Allah is like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir, because here it's Rabbi Meir saying a decree. Rabbi Meir saying, we have a blanket rule. No one should get married till 3 months go by. And we know Shmuel says Allah is like Rabbi Meir, because they rose up. That Allah is like Rabbi Meir when he makes blanket decrees. So normally, I would think this is a blanket decree. We should follow Rabbi Meir. That's, you have to say no. Here too, Rabbi Yossi is the one who gets the halacha. Is Rabbi Meir more lenient generally? I don't know. I haven't looked. I'm not so sure. I don't think so. Not so sure. Ella, so again, we're back to the question, why did Rav Masharshia say that the rules of Psak were rejected? What's that? Right, interesting. Yeah, it depends on each case. The reason why Rabbi Masharshia said that the rules of Psak were rejected was from the following Braisa. Now, the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah says you shouldn't do business with a Gentile on their holiday, because if he'll be happy with the deal, he's going to go be thankful to his God. And that'll be part of increasing Avodah Zarah, which you shouldn't be doing. We learned in Braisa, but if you know, it's not just about him being happy for the deal. You know, like, you need it because of your own reasons. You need the deal. And you can do it. So let's say, Holchin liyared shel nachrim. You're allowed to go to the market of the Gentiles. You can buy from them an animal or a slave. Why? Because when you buy an animal and a slave, the animal now is going to keep Shabbos because of Shisus Behemto. The slave is going to keep mitzvahs also. So it's necessary to get these people into the world of mitzvos, or these beings into the world of mitzvos. So even though that guy might now be thankful that he got paid for his stuff, you're allowed to do it. You're also allowed to go buy from them batim sad mukhrabas, because we always want to get land away from Gaim into the hands of Jews in the land of Israel. So if you have, it's the day before the holiday of the Greek Orthodox Church, and the day of their holiday, it's their Christmas, and they're willing to sell you the land that they own around Yerushalayim. They own half Yerushalayim almost. I mean, they own a lot of land. They'll sell it to you. You can go buy it. They're going to be happy. They're going to get millions of dollars. They're going to be thankful. So what? We need to get the land away from the Gaim, that the Jews should own the land of Eretz Yisrael. V'chosev, you could even go write a document, and bring it into their courts to confirm it. Even though that's going to give them honor, they're going to feel so happy and thankful. You have to save the land of Israel from their hands. Another law. Let's say you're a Kohen, and you find out that the Greek patriarch who owns the land of Yerushalayim is outside of Israel. But he'll be willing to sell it to you if you go visit him in Greece. So normally you don't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, because there's Tumah. There's Tumah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Tumah is Eretz Am. It's a rabbinic Tumah. But to do Yeshiva Aretz, to get Eretz Yisrael, you go travel to Greece to get Eretz Yisrael. That's fine. So even your kaim time in Chutz La'aretz, you go out to Chutz La'aretz, Ladin La'arimahem, to go to a court case against them. Shem Shem time in Chutz La'aretz, Kach Matam in Vesak Varos. A kohen can even go into a cemetery to try to get land away from Gaim. Beis HaKvaras HaKataitach, a kohen could go to a cemetery that's Tumah D'Oraisa, Tumah D'Oraisa, that's biblical Tumah. El Beis HaPras, an area where there had been a grave, the grave was plowed up. We don't know where in this area the grave now is. Maybe you're going to step on a bone, maybe you won't. So Midrabanan, you shouldn't walk on that area. So there, where there's a Tumah Midrabanan, they permit it for Yeshiva Aretz in order to get land away from Goyim and get it into Jewish hands. Question? Baruch? Correct, right? You can have a non-Jew write for you on Shabbos to get land in Israel. Exactly. No, no, because it doesn't have an ohel over it. So even if it's a mechusen stone, the tumah keeps rising. Yeah. Umitame, now a Kohen also can go outside of Israel and become Tamei Midrabanan. Lisa Isha, in order to find a wife, to get married, Yomot Torah, to learn Torah. Amr Buda said, Emase, when is this true? It's Manchein Motze Lilmod, when he can't learn in Eretz Yisrael. Avamotze Lilmod, but if there are good yeshivos in Eretz Yisrael and he can learn here, Lo Yitame, he shouldn't become Tamei. And Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, "Af is man shemotzi lilmod nami yitame." Even if this kohen has a good yeshiva available to him in Israel, he can go outside of Israel to go learn. Lefish ein min hakol zoche adam lilmod. You don't always learn from every rebbe. He has to be a shidduch. This Talmud has to learn from this rebbe. It works with him. He may not learn with others. I remember when my father told me that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn in Brisk, in the yeshiva of Rav Beryl Soloveitchik. So he went to his teacher, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav. He said, I'm thinking to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav said, why? He said, you know, the Gemara says in Ksubis, Avira Da'arad Yisrael Machkim, the heir of Israel makes a person wise. The Rav said, I think we know how to learn over here pretty well. So he stayed, he didn't go. You know, you have your Rebbe, it works, you know, no need to go. Amr Rabbi Yossi said a story. Ma'isa b'Yosef HaKohen, there was a story with Yosef the Kohen. Sh'alach etzal rabbo l'tzaydon u'motzora. He went to Lebanon, to Sidon, because that's where his teacher was, in order to learn Torah. Okay, so here we have different opinions, right? We have Rabbi Yossi saying a Kohen can go out of Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. Reb Yudah says he can only go out of Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah if he doesn't have any Torah available in Eretz Yisrael. All the yeshivas are closed in Eretz Yisrael. But if there's the option of learning in Israel, you stay in Israel. Amr Reb Yochanan said, Halachas like Reb Yossi. Now again, Lamali, why do I need Reb Yochanan to tell me here Halachas like Reb Yossi? Amarta, didn't you tell me? Reb Yudah versus Reb Yossi, Halachas like Reb Yossi. Here was Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yossi. Amar Abaye answered, Itztrich, I have to tell you here too. Kasal kadai tachamina, we thought to say, Hani Nili, when do we say this? That's b'masnisin, when we deal with the Mishnah. Abba b'braisa, but when we have arguments in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Braiso, so the Braisos we know weren't as precise, they weren't edited as much. Amalo, so maybe there we don't have a rule to pass like Rabbi Yossi. Ashmalans, that's why I needed Rabbi Yochanan to say that in this case too, Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, even though this is an argument in a Braisa. Ella, so the Gemara says, in light of all these discussions, we really don't know that we have to reject the rules. Really, we should change what Rav Masharshia said. Not that Rav Masharshia said Rabbi Yochanan made rules how to pass, and then Rabbi Yochanan himself rejected them. Okay, this is what Rav Masharshia really meant. Ani klali, these rules of Rabbi Yochanan, lav divrei akol minhu, not everybody agrees to it. Rav, lesli hani klali, because Rav doesn't agree with these rules. Rav doesn't agree with the rules. Rabbi Yochanan, he does agree with the rules. All right, now going back to the issues of Eruvei Tchumin. Our Mishnah discussed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that a guy who goes to sleep is kona shvisa, he now has 2,000 amos in each direction. And then we saw in the Gemara that leads to a discussion, what about if somebody doesn't sleep? What about if somebody is just has, there are objects that have no owner that are put down? So as the Gemara, Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Yehuda is the name of Shmuel, Cheftzei Nachri, objects that belong to a non-Jew. So it belongs to a non-Jew. So non-Jews don't have the law of Tchumen. It's in Konin Shvisa. So the fact that this object was in a certain spot before Shabbos does not create a Tchum for the object. The object doesn't have any Tchum. So the guy who gets it, he can move the object based on his Tchum. So now, Liman, this idea of Shmuel. Who is Shmuel following? If it's the Rabbanan who hold that ownerless objects don't have Shvisa, Shita. So if an ownerless object doesn't have Shvisa, certainly an object of a Gentile doesn't have Shvisa, doesn't have a Tchum. If the object itself has no owner, so we don't say the object is limited to a particular spot, because there was no owner. So then, when there is an owner, so you would normally say that the object goes with the owner. But here the owner doesn't have any limitations where he can walk. He's a guy, he can walk anywhere. He doesn't have Tchumen. So this Lu Bailam, which has an owner who doesn't have any Tchum limitations, so of course that these objects don't have Tchum limitations. Ellos, we have to say like this, Shmuel, Alibad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Shmuel is following Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Kamashman, he's teaching us the following idea. Eimadam Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Konan Shvisa. Where would Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that an ownerless object has a Tchum and is limited to 2,000 amos? I mean, the Chefse after less Lu Bailam. That's ownerless objects that don't have an owner. But an object that does have an owner, it belongs to the guy. So it's with him, and the guy is unlimited where he can walk. Then lo, so the object also is unlimited until it comes into the hands of a Jew, and it gets limited by the hands of the Jew. Meisve, I'll challenge you. We learned in a braisa. Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Shimon ben Elazar says, Ashol klimen anachri. Let's say you borrow a utensil from a guy on Yom Tov. Or Amashol anachri klimen erev Yom Tov. You lend to a guy the utensil before Yom Tov. The guy gives it back to you on Yom Tov. Or kelim, or utensils, vautzaros, or put food to be put into storage. And these objects don't belong to anyone, but they were here within the tchum as Yom Tov started. You have 2,000 amos in each direction. However, if the Gentile brings fruits for you, from outside of the tchum, now you can't move them. So you see, the fruits of the Gentile brought for you, even though these are fruits of the Gentile, they are limited. They have 2,000 amma. Now, yeah, my tibishma kasav Rabbi Yochanan Nuri chetzei nachri konim shvisa. If somebody holds, Yochanan Nuri holds, that the objects of Gentiles also are limited. They have 2,000 amma, based on where they were as Shabbos began or Yom Tov began. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. And you'd say, this Bryce is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Eli Amit Kasav, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Chefsei Nachmi, ain't Konon Shvisa. But if you're going to say what you just said, that according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, the objects of Goyim don't have space limitations. Hamani said, who's this Bryce? Lo Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Velo Rabbanan. It's nobody, not Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, nor the Rabbanan. Olam Kasav, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Chefsei Nachmi, Konon Shvisa. So you have to say, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds objects of a guy do acquire a particular spot. Shmuel to Amar Shmuel, who says that they don't acquire a spot, he's Kirabanan, he's the Rabbanan. So he said it's obvious. The Kamar Tzal Rabbanan Shiti. So what's the Chiddush? Why does Shmuel have to tell us this? I'll tell you why. Ma'ad Tamer was about to say that the objects of a guy do have a limitation to how far they can travel. Because Kseir Rabban de Nachri to Bound the Yisrael. So I'd say, if when a guy owns an object, there's no limitation to how far it could travel, then people are going to think that even when a Jew owns an object, there's no limitation how far the object can travel. They're not going to think that, oh, well, if Hefker objects can be moved around, certainly a guy's object can be moved around. They're not going to think that. That's what Kamash Malan, that we don't make this Gzeira. However, Rav Chiya Bar Ava and Amar Rav Yochanan, Chefzei Nachri Konim Shvisa, Rav Chiya Bar Ava holds, Rav Chiya Bar Ava says the name of Rav Yochanan, objects of Gentiles also have tchum, and they can't be moved more than 2,000 amos in any direction from where they were at the beginning of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because of this very thought, Gzeira Baalim D'Nachrim Atu Baalim D'Yisrael, because of a decree of when a Jew owns it versus when a non-Jew owns it. And now a story. Hani Dachri Daskel Mavrachta. There were once these rams that were brought into the town, Mavrachta. They were brought from outside of the tchum. Sharlu Rav Levnei Mechoza. Rava allowed the people of Mechoza that were nearby Mavrachta, but they weren't actually in Mavrachta, to buy these rams on Yom Tov from Gentiles and to slaughter them, to eat them. Presumably to slaughter and eat them. Amle Ravina Rava said to Ravina, Ravina said to Rava, my daitach, what are you thinking? I'm Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. That Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Chefzei Nachri and Konim Shvisa. The objects of Gentiles do not acquire a particular spot. Vashmuel Rav Yochanan Lach Rav Yochanan. We know that Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan Lach is like Rav Yochanan. V'am Rav Chiya Bar Av and Am Rav Yochanan. Chefzei Nachri Konim Shvisa. The objects of Gentiles do acquire a spot. Because as we just said, Gzeira Balam Denachrim Atu Bal Yisrael. Because if we are going to say that the objects of Gentiles don't have a tchum, then people will think that the objects of Jews don't have tchum. Hadam Rava. So Rava said, okay, I have to change my mind. He said, Lizdavnu of Mavrachta. The people of Mavrachta can buy these rams, because even though these are rams that came from outside of the tchum, so fine, so they came from outside of the tchum. So now you have four amos. And Mavrachta is considered one big four amos. Kula Mavrachta, we did two, Karba Amos Damya. Since they live in Mavrachta, the entirety of Mavrachta is considered four amos. But the people of Mechoza, they cannot buy these rams. Adkan, Daf Mem Zayin, Maseches Erevin.